I don't know about you, but I am not someone who naturally embraces change. I like to have things planned out well in advance, and I find it difficult to change direction at the last minute. I love a well-planned path with clear directions and a firm destination. That's actually pretty funny when you think about the fact that much of my ministry here at Rocky River Presbyterian Church involves working with children and youth. Kids are not always prone to following a plan, no matter how well thought out it is. I can't tell you how many times that I have had to do a quick change on a youth retreat due to weather or illness or even a session that is obviously going south very quickly. My fellow youth leader, Dave Hensel, has a term for this. He calls it keeping your knees loose. It's a skill that I'm trying to acquire, and I have a herd of unpredictable youth to thank for much of my progress. A few weeks ago, we were in the midst of vacation Bible school here with 151 children and nearly 100 volunteers. You need to know that my fellow coordinators, Betty Case and Sharon Armstrong, and I would start meeting every February, carefully evaluating curriculum, designing the t-shirts, choosing leaders and storytellers, discussing possible mission projects, and planning every small detail that goes into such a week. After years and years of doing this, the formula seems to work very well. We all have our roles. We count ourselves successful when we get to the end of a week and we haven't had to bandage too many scraped knees. The kids leave each day joyfully singing Kids of the Kingdom, and we don't run out of the two favorite snacks, hot pretzels and popsicles. Things were going along great this year, mostly according to the carefully laid out plans. After we finished on Wednesday, I received a long and thoughtful email from a first-time adult volunteer. She shared what a great week her own children were having, and she thanked us for all of our hard work to make a successful week for everyone. She then shared in detail several suggestions that she thought might help to improve future vacation Bible schools. You know, sometimes it takes a fresh pair of eyes and a new perspective to see a better way to do something. It was obvious she put a great deal of thought into her words. Being a busy VBS week, I read the email once and stashed it into my folder. But I kept thinking about it. So later that week, I pulled it out again, and I reread it. She had made some really excellent suggestions. It reminded me that the carefully laid out plans that we make can change, and sometimes change for the better. I shared her comments with Sharon and Betty, and they agreed that these were ideas well worth considering for future VBS weeks. I know that sometimes I fall into that mentality of, we have always done it that way, and that's not always good. Structure's my friend, but over the years, I need to be reminded that change is often necessary, and sometimes it brings unexpected benefits. Recent years have been challenging to our faith community here at RRPC. We're seeing a decline in the weekly worship attendance, church school attendance, and attendance at fellowship meetings for youth. This is not unique to our congregation. It is an issue in other churches in our denomination and beyond. I take part in several social media groups that are like chat rooms for Christian educators, and almost all of these educators are facing similar circumstances. Many are already in sort of a survival mode. I've served for the past 6 years on the National Board for APSE, which is the Association for Presbyterian Church Educators. And this has become a major topic for our keynote speakers and workshop leaders at our annual conferences. What is becoming increasingly clear to all of us is that it is not the people we serve who need to change. It is the church that needs to change to stay vibrant and vital in today's culture. But what does that mean? About 6 years ago, I received a call from Liza Hendricks. Liza was the then executive presbyter for the Presbytery of the Western Reserve. She asked me if I would be willing to serve on a short-term task force for the presbytery that was going to look at ways to revitalize the presbytery and its membership congregations. This was called the NOVA Task Force. I assumed that NOVA was an acronym for something, but it turns out that I was mistaken. We were called the NOVA Task Force because a NOVA is a large star that explodes. After the explosion, it is smaller, but it burns more brightly than it did before. I like that image. I agreed to serve, and we began meeting that January. The first task given to us was to read the book Journey in the Wilderness by Methodist pastor Gil Rendell. Rendell takes a hard look at the future of the church. He's convinced that we are in for big changes in the coming years, and we must adapt if we are to survive as healthy congregations. Now, you have to remember that I am someone who finds the term big change more than a little unsettling. So at first, this book made me very uncomfortable. Here's a quote from the first chapter. "It isn't often that a whole people go through a religious wilderness together. Yet in North America, that has been the case in my lifetime and my experience. At some point or another, there have been moments of discomfort in each of these religious bodies, Protestant, Catholic, and Jewish, that have required refocusing, restructuring, or restaffing. But rare is the radical, rooted shift in a global culture that prompts and requires a whole people to question their practices and enter a prolonged wilderness in search of their future way of life. Ours has been such an exodus or escape from a constraining past in search of a promised and findable future." Does that sound vaguely familiar? It should. As an analogy for his entire book, Rendell uses the story of the Israelites' exodus from Egypt. It's the image of a people who have been taken out of a way of life that is well known and deeply established. It is a time of doubt, questioning, and searching. As Moses was leading his people for so many years, times were usually very hard. But we can recall that through such a messy and human exodus, the Israelites were changed from those who were slaves in the old land to become a new nation for God, called to live in a new place. But Moses' followers were unhappy and sometimes just downright cranky. They complained about everything. Rendell suggests that today's society isn't much different. We're okay with the trip, but we expect that that trip can be scheduled on a clear timeline, that our church leaders will know the right direction to walk every day, that faithfulness will not be challenged, and that everyone will willingly take that trip together without argument. That's not likely. That's human nature. And were such an orderly trip even possible, the fact remains that neat and tidy trips produce little learning and perhaps in the end, no change. So, where are we going? And more importantly, perhaps, why are we going there? Take a look at today's reading from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus has one thing to say to his audience that day: follow me. Two words, not much doubt to what their meaning is. But look at what response Jesus gets. "I will, but first let me bury my father. I will, but first let me say goodbye to those in my house. I will, but." The people seem willing to do what Jesus asks, but they all have more important things to do first. One could argue that these tasks are as important as following Jesus, but Jesus tells them that nothing is more important than following him. It's about priorities. It was a very real struggle for the people of Jesus' time, and it's a very real struggle for us today. Where once Sunday was a day reserved for church, rest, and reflection, today's reality is that we are forced to make choices. Increasingly, people are faced with sports, travel, lessons, homework or work, or just the basic need for some downtime on a Sunday. This is one of the many reasons we are seeing declining numbers in worship and church school attendance. However, here's an interesting observation. Even though our mainline churches are struggling with declining numbers and financial issues, Rendell states in his book that, and I quote, "the search for an interest in a relationship with God shows no evidence of weakening in multi-faith and personal spiritual dimensions." So as busy as we are both individually and as a society, we still have that longing for a spiritual connection with God and others in a community of faith. We crave those relationships, even though our lifestyle is making it harder and harder. So how do we change? I think it's time for us to really examine ourselves. What are we doing as a congregation that isn't working anymore? What are some new things we could try? What changes could we make to our worship and our programming that would better serve the people where they are now? These are questions I have struggled with. These are questions John has struggled with. Your Vitality and Renewal Committee have spent a great deal of time dealing with this very issue. Change is not easy. Change brings anxiety. That's normal. But it can also bring hope. Our current situation is driven by the need for the mainline church to connect with the fast-changing culture and the people that surround it outside the walls of tradition, or we've always done it that way. In the coming months, you may very well see some small or even large changes in the sanctuary, our worship services, our Christian education programs, our special programs, just to name a few. Look for more cross-generational programming, like the game night that our youth hosted back in May. It was such a joy to watch the youth of this church get to know some older adults over a game of Jenga and a piece of cake. Look for our youth to be even more involved in outreach and mission projects, such as when they baked dessert for the last community meal or collecting toilet paper for an organization in need. You may also see some more adult education opportunities beyond one small but very committed Sunday morning class. Look for changes in appearance to our sanctuary and church school classrooms. Look for more youth and children to be involved in our weekly worship services. If you know me at all, you know that one of the things I tell people over and over again is that children and youth are not the future of our church. They are our church, in the here and now, every bit as much as folks who have been here for decades. The bottom line is that we are to be in community with each other, regardless of age or ability. That is something that has not changed and will never change. It's what God has called each and every one of us to be. What will change is the way that we, as a vibrant and committed community of faith, reach out to each other and to the community around us. The challenge here is to keep God in the forefront. Too often we think that we know what's best. We need to work very hard to allow God to lead us and to discern who and what God is calling us to be as Rocky River Presbyterian Church. Our God is a God of surprises. We should not allow ourselves to believe that we are in control and miss seeing God as capable of surprising us. Through prayer and deliberate discernment, we can learn what God's plan is for us. One of the basic tenets of our faith as Presbyterians is that we are reformed and always reforming. As we proceed to our future, remember that we are reforming and being reformed as a new people of God. Change is coming, but it isn't something to be feared. It is something to look forward to. The future will be different, but it will still be God's. In our faith tradition as Presbyterians, we commission our church leaders. The dictionary defines commission as an instruction, command, or duty given to a person or group of people. Very recently, we commissioned some folks to serve as elders and deacons here. Perhaps we should all consider ourselves commissioned to continue our work as a congregation in new and different ways. We are a strong community of faith. Let's face the future committed to continuing to be. This morning's reading from Joshua is a commission from God as Joshua prepares to take over after the death of Moses with the Israelites. So listen again to the last part of that reading. I have commanded you to be brave and strong, haven't I? Don't be alarmed or terrified, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen.